And rushed up here and led the singing. I sure thank the Lord for him. I really do. He was trying to get me a good deal on the ladder last night. I want one like his. In fact, I got his. So he's wanting me to buy my own. But they didn't have the one on sale like his. Oh, boy. Well, I want to deal with a serious subject tonight, talking about Old Testament pictures of Christ. You've seen the trouble that Job had. Four times. One thing after another came upon him. Trouble after trouble came upon him. While he was yet speaking, then someone came. And I want to talk tonight about four things that we learn only in trouble, only in trials. And Job was a greatly, greatly troubled, as few men in this world have ever been troubled. He literally lost everything that he had. Really lost everything he had. And Shirley and I was talking on the way to service tonight, and I said, you know, the only way Job could have acted the way he did in verses 21 and 22. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job, charged not God foolish. Sin not, nor charge God foolishly. The only way he could have done this and faced these troubles the way that he did, by worshiping God, was to know Christ. To know Christ. It starts right out in the first beginning, said he is a perfect and an upright man that feared God. Feared God. He eschewed evil. God himself told Satan, said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect and an upright man? God said that about him. So God let him be tried, and tried very, very grievously. And the only way anybody can go through any trial, and another thing we was talking about, do you ever feel like that you passed a trial and done it really well? Went through a trial and got on the other side and said, boy, I look back on that, I really dealt well with that. I handled that very good. Well, Job, first of all, let me tell you about something about him. He is a man of extreme wealth. Great, great wealth. It said his substance was more than anybody in all the East. He is the wealthiest man in the East. He had more money, more substance, more cattle, more camels, more service than anybody in the East. And then he turned around and then he became a man of complete poverty. He lost all of his substance and his children all in the same day. All in the same day. Everything he owned was just swept away and gone. And he is a family man. He had 10 children. 10 of them. 7 sons and 3 daughters. And all of his children were killed in a storm. Killed in a storm. And even his own wife turned against him. Look what he said over here in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Look what he says over here. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Charge God for this. And let curse God and say, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? But he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not also receive evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. His own wife turned against him. And here's a man of great influence. Not only was a man of wealth and a family man, here's a man of great, great influence. He had servants. Oh, he had so many servants and so many friends. And suddenly, suddenly he couldn't get anybody in that town where he was with all of his power and all the influence he had. He couldn't get anybody to give him the time of day. Let me show you that. What I mean, look over here in Job 19. He couldn't get people to get him the time of day. And that's pretty much the way it is. In Job 19, look what it says here. As long as everything's going well with you, you got all kinds of friends. When things don't go so well, you don't have any. But a friend indeed is a friend in need. But look what he said here down in verse 13. This is Job now. He's talking. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kin folks have failed, and my family friends have forgotten me. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house, and even my maids, count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. So when he got in really, 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 really need, he didn't have a friend. Even the children made fun of him and mocked him. And that was one time he was a man of great strength and good health. And now he was so frail, that when his three friends came to comfort him, look what it says in chapter 2 and verse 12. You know, look at that. When they saw Job, they didn't hardly recognize him. And the three friends that came, and it tells who they are in verse 11. But when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and list this, they knew him not. He was so emaciated. And his body was in such shape, and he was so sickly and so ill-treated that they lifted up their voice and wept. Said they couldn't hardly recognize him. That's how quick he got over things like that. And let me tell you something about Job here that you probably don't know. But Job, when he shaved his head and ripped his mantle and fell down on his face before God in worship, Job, no doubt, didn't try to hide his sorrow. He didn't try to hide his sorrow. He wept before God. A man can't hear what he heard and deal with what he dealt with and not be brokenhearted. Just cannot do that. He was brokenhearted over his children. Brokenhearted over everything that had happened to him. He wept before God. And God's people are people with tender feelings. Tender feelings. And when God calls upon us to go through trials and go through afflictions and go carry great burdens and to bear the rod that He puts upon us sometimes, we feel it. Now God, He takes away the stone out of our heart. But He doesn't turn our heart into a stone. No. We sorrow. We weep. We worry. We go through things that people even in the world go through. But we sorrow, but we don't never sorrow as those who have no hope. And that's why Job, as sorrowful as he was, he had a hope. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. That's the only way he could have known anything about this. Now look what happened to him. Here's the first thing when Job's troubles came upon him. Here's the first thing to look at. Job's heartbreak and Job's sorrow caused him to worship God. Look at verse 20, chapter 1. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, his robe, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Worshipped. Now you know, sorrow and troubles and heartaches should always lead us to worship and praise God. Always should lead us that way. Where else are you going to go? We sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, when you get in trouble, that's when you really start seeking the Lord. And I tell you, and in all of his trouble and all this trial and all this sorrow, Job never once spake in a manner against God. Not any at all against God. He didn't dishonor the name of God. He didn't look at somebody else and say, well, my lot's worse than that person's lot. I wish that, you know, this hadn't happened to me, or that, you know, he never compared himself to anybody else. No, no. He fell down and worshiped God. And that's the thing that this trial is supposed to do, to cause us to fall down and worship God. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe this with all my heart. I've seen too many people go through too many things. That it always, every believer, I know he never, ever gets to a trial and says, boy, I've done good there. I know he does not do that. But also know this, that whatever God sends his way, he wants to honor God through it as much as he possibly can. That's his. I don't want to dishonor God through what's going on in my life right now. That's what believers think. I don't want to dishonor God. Oh, my. And he fell down and worshiped. And if God, sometimes he sends you some trials and some griefs and some sorrows, and he presses you down to the ground, worship there. If trials lay you low, worship there. Let me, you keep Job, and let me show you something in Psalm 68. This is one of my, I just love this psalm. I could quote it to you, but Psalm 68. I just love this verse of scripture. I've quoted it so many times over the years. Psalm 68. Or excuse me, 62. I'm sorry, 62 and verse 8 is what I'm looking for. 62 and verse 8. 62 and verse 8. Look what it says here now. This is a wonderful verse of scripture. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And that's all we can do sometimes. Just pour out our heart to God. Just pour it out. Just empty it and pour it out. And that's why Job said this. He said, though he slay me, though he slay me. And sometimes people get the news that this is it. And they say, oh, he slay me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. And I tell you, times of trial should always be a time of worship. But it also ought to be a time to teach us and cause us to consider some things about ourselves and about life. Always should do that. And I tell you, listen, you know what David did in Psalm 45? He done this twice. He said, looked at himself and talked to himself. David had a conversation with himself. And he said, why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? Why are you cast down? What's wrong with you? And then he told himself, well, hope thou in God. He sat around there for a little while and he said it to himself again. Whoa, my soul, what's the matter with you that you're so cast down? Hope thou in God. But he talked to himself. He said, oh, why? And all he wanted, I mean, he said, pour out your heart. That's what he did, poured out his heart before God. And Job reveals to us that he was a man that God, that feared God. God had well taught him. And I tell you what, he feared God more than he feared anything in the world. One thing that Job, that Satan accused him of, does Job fear you for naught? The only reason Job worships you is for what you give to him. And that's what the average preacher is trying to tell people today. God will give you this, that, and the other if you'll trust Him. I tell you what, you trust God, and He might do take everything you've got, but you still got to trust Him. And that's four things Job learned this in this trouble. First of all, he knew how brief life was. Brief life was. Look what he says there in verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. He said, naked came I into the world. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Huh? You know what Job found out here, and he learned? That life is, he learned this in life, that it's just a snap of a finger. Just snap of a finger. Huh? He said, I came here and I got to go back where I come from. I got to go back where I come from. You know, look what he said here in chapter 14. We all know this, and we've looked at this before. But look what he said. Man that's born of woman is a few days, short in his days, and those days are full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down and flees as a shadow. He says, my life is just like nothing but a flower. I preached there and talked about this in a funeral one time. It was your dad's funeral. And I dealt with this verse of scripture here. Cometh forth as a flower and is cut out. And one of his nephews got very, very angry about it. He didn't like it at all. He said, we're not flowers. Life's not like a flower. I tell you, I don't care how pretty your flower is, how long does it last? You bring up the finest lilies and the finest carnations, and you bring them up here and put them up here, and they'll be beautiful in all different colors, and you'll set them up here, and within just a very few days, the leaves and everything starts falling off of them, and you throw them in the trash can. He said, that's the way our life is. It's just like a flower. They're beautiful when they're blooming, but none of them last long. And oh, he goes on to say, and I tell you, my life flees as a shadow. It's like a shadow going by. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such a one, bringest me into judgment with thee? Oh my. Then he says down verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass. He said, God, you set my time, and I can't get out of it. I got to do it. And oh my. And I'll tell you something else he learned. He said, life, you know, our life on earth is compared not only to a flower, but a vapor. James said, our life is but a vapor. Yeah. It seemed like just a very few days ago, I was 25 years old. 25 years old. And I married 4 couples that's in this audience today. And you've been married longer than 25 years. Now, how would that time go? Where'd it go? And he said, our lives is like a weaver's shuttle. You ever seen anybody, old time weaver shuttles? They step fast. And oh my, not only in time of sorrow, but at all times, we need to consider the brevity of life on earth. And I tell you, our length of life to come and find our joy and our hope in one place, that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. But you know what else he also said? To die is gain. To die is gain. And I tell you, beloved, that's why Job said this. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't know he's going. He didn't say, I know my Redeemer's going to live. He said, I know my Redeemer's living right now. I know he's living right now. And that I shall see him for myself. He'll stand on the earth at the latter day and I'll see for myself in this body, he said. After skin worms did out of this body, yet I shall see him in my flesh. You can trust the Redeemer. You can trust Christ. And oh my, not only he know the brevity of life. Oh, what a lesson. What a lesson. He knew the frailty and vanity of earthly possessions. Of earthly possessions. When he said, naked came out of my mother's womb. Here was a man who had been immense, immense wealth. And now he don't even have a friend. Huh? And when the word naked, when a baby is born into this world, what in the world does he possess? He comes into this world naked. And Job said, listen, When I leave here, I'm going to leave the same way I came. When a baby, when he comes into this world, he possesses nothing. He don't own a thing. And when a man dies, what in the world does he possess? What does he possess? One of my neighbors, he's dying. He was dying. I mean, he's on his deathbed. Take me in the living room. Lay me on the couch. I won't see my knives and I won't see my arrowheads before I leave. That's a sorry thing to look at, ain't it? When you're dying. But oh my. And you know what? He left every knife and every arrowhead and everything he ever owned and every penny he ever saved. He left it all by its world. He didn't have nothing to take with him. And that's where it's going to be with all of us. He'll leave this world naked. And what that means is you won't have a possession. The baby comes without any possession, and we're going to leave here without any possessions. And oh my, old Henry Mahan used to say all the time, don't drive your tent stake down too deep, because you may have to leave and you don't want to have to dug, jerk, and try to pull it out. Oh, listen. And the Lord teaches Job, and I tell you what, God help us to learn by His example. The frailty and vanity that all we have in our hands and all that we can hold in our hands, and we call our own. And the thing is, when we was baby, we brought nothing into this world. And when we leave here, we're going to leave just exactly the way we came. Amen. But I tell you one thing we can do. We can leave this world differently than the way we came into it. We were born sinners. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But by God's blessed grace and God's blessed mercy given us in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in Him, we can leave this world as one of His children, as one of His sheep, as one of His elect, justified, forgiven, accepted, and freely, freely received into God's blessed presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. By Him who believed, He justified from all things. Oh my. And without Christ, this is what's so tough for us and our children and our grandchildren, the people we love. Without Christ, men are going to die as they were born. Shapen in iniquity, live in iniquity, and die in iniquity. Oh, I can't think of anything worse for a person to do, go through. Huh? Tell you something else Job learned. He saw God's hand in everything that happened to him. He saw God's hand in everything that happened to him. Look what he said here in verse 21 again in Job chapter 1. He saw the hand of God in everything that he done. He said, the Lord, the last part of verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. The Lord gave. That's what he said. He said, he just took what belonged to him to start with. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. When people read this, they see that thing about Satan, God turning Satan loose, and that Satan done all this to him. But Job understood that the Lord gave and the Lord took it away. Satan didn't do this, the Lord did this. And I tell you, every true believer knows that the Lord is the first cause of everything that happens in this world. This pandemic, God's the first cause of it. And when it's over and done with, He'll be the cause of it. I don't care what man says or does, God's the one that provides for this world and everything in it. They got these vaccines coming. God gave them people the sense to do that. I'm going to give God the glory for everything that happens in this world. I don't care what it is. I mean, really, either we believe he has His hand in all things and He's first cause of everything, or He's not the cause of nothing. There ain't no middle ground. But oh my, Job, like everybody, knows that the Lord's the first cause of all things. And that he uses second causes, yes. He used Satan here. But he can only do what God. He said, oh, listen, have you considered my servant Job? And I tell you, it's just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter prayed in Acts chapter 4 and said, We know that Pilate, that you delivered your holy child Jesus up to Pilate and the Jews only to do what your hand determined before to be done. You turned him over to them, but you only determined it to be done. And then look what he said. He said, oh, the Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Then look what else he said. I want you to really, this turned me every way but loose today. He said, the Lord gave. The Lord gave. Job didn't say, I earned these things. I deserve these things. I worked hard for all these things. No, you know what he said? The Lord gave everything I've got to me. I didn't have anything God didn't give me. That's what Job's saying here. He said, the Lord gave. He didn't, you know, and people say all the time, well, you deserve this, you deserve that. It's a good thing God don't give us what we deserve. Uh-huh. And Job didn't say, I earned them, I deserve them. I worked hard for them. No, he said, all that I have, the Lord gave me. Uh-huh. A man can receive nothing except it given him from heaven. What have we got that we didn't receive? And I tell you, and I've said this time and again, and I know you believe the same thing. All that I have physically, all that I have mentally, all that I own materially, and all I am and I possess spiritually, every single one of them is a gift of God.
Amen.
Every single one of them, huh? When I, even though I have repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, those were given to me. Faith was given to me. Repentance was given to me through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, all of these are the gifts of God. We would not have faith had not Christ given to us. We wouldn't have repented had not Christ granted us repentance. So I tell you, God gave us everything we have. And I know you're hard workers. I know you are. And I know you take care of what God blesses you with. But we know that everything that you can touch, taste, or handle, or possess in this world is perishing with the using. Huh? Oh my. So the Lord gave, and then look what else he said, the Lord hath taken away. Not only did he say the Lord gave me everything, but he saw the hand of God in Job taking Job saw the hand of God him taking it away. You know what? If it had been me or you, we'd have said, them aggravating Sabians. Boy, if I can get my hands on them, we'll go to war with them. He didn't curse the Sabians. When them Chaldeans fell down there and got all of his camels and killed some of his servants, he never said, oh, them wicked Chaldeans. He didn't blame the lightning that fell and killed all of his sheep. He didn't blame the wind that had tore down the house that his children was in and killed them all. He knew that the Lord controlled all these things. And he knew that the Lord God had willed it or it would not have happened. And he knew that. We really know that all things work together. It's like Aaron. When God killed his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, the scripture said he held his peace. Why? Because the Lord had done it. The Lord had done it. And then last of all, here's the fourth thing he learned in trouble. He declared that no matter what happens, in all things and at all times, God is to be praised. Look what he said in the last part of that verse 21. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Listen to this. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Only somebody that Christ has done something for can do that. Oh my. To be able to praise God equally down in the valley of trial, or whether you're up on the mountain rejoicing in your heart full of joy. It ought to be the desire of every believer to praise His God and to bless His God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, In everything, in loss or in gain, whether in sickness or in health, whether in success or else in failure, whether it's summer or winter, life or death, in everything give thanks. You know what he says? Whatever it may be, if you're in Christ, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. Huh? I believe it's every believer's desire that's in this building tonight, and a lot that's listening to me. God, whatever you do to me, whatever you send my way, help me to honor you in it, not embarrass you, not shame you, and to praise you no matter what happens. For Christ's sake. Amen. Our Father, oh Lord, how blessed you are. Oh, we read these things, we deal with these things. And Lord, we know every one of them's true. Every one of them's true. We know them. Lord, you've taught us a few things over life. And so we continue to look to you and trust you and believe you and attribute everything that we have in this world to you, to every spiritual gift, to every material gift, to everything that we own or possess in this world. It comes from you. You gave it to us. You gave it to us. And Lord, we pray for our children. Oh God, and our grandchildren. Oh Lord Jesus, please, please convince them of sin. Convince them of righteousness. Convince them of judgment. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Everybody knows the first verse, I think, of It's Well With My Soul. I think all of us know the first verse of it, don't we? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well
with my soul.
With my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. Well, good night, God.